Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, it's me, Brian, and Gina. We're getting into a wide variety of subjects, swamp coolers and defunding and God knows what else. News coming up as well. First, Bet Online Sports. They keep coming back. Now's your chance. Get a little wager in with our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. UFC, NASCAR, Formula One. Oh, yeah. I was just watching Formula One last night. It's in full swing. There's no one in the stands, but they're going at it. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL Madden games, NBA, 2K, and UFC daily, plus future odds on everything you can imagine on season win totals, division odds, and every league championship. Get in on some of this stuff before the season starts, especially football. Visit betonline.ag or use your mobile device to join with promo code PODCAST1 for your welcome bonus. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget, promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from The Verdict with Ted Cruz, Michael Knowles and Ted Cruz. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he wants the Redskins to change their name to the cheap jeans he had as a kid and become the Washington Toughskins. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, baby, with reinforced knees. Super denim.
They suck.
One day we'll make a power rankings of kids' pants. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Inconceivable.
We had the, it would go super denim at the bottom. JCPenney's was always the bottom. There was something lower than Sears. That was JCPenney's.
I was going to say, wouldn't Sears be lower, but no.
Now, JCPenney's was lower, then it was Sears Toughskins, then it was Levi's. And also, much like stadium food, it took 50 years for stadiums and for Sears or JCPenney's or wherever we're going to have name brands that you enjoyed outside of the store or outside of the stadium. Like, the whole time I was growing up, thankfully, we never went to Dodger Stadium or Rams, the Coliseum, or went to any events. But if you went to an event, you got stadium food. Mm-hmm. You didn't get In-N-Out Burger, and you didn't get Jody Maroney hot dogs, or anything. You just got food that the stadium had.
A pretzel or a hot dog or a nacho.
Yeah, a frosty.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a lateral move from institutional prison food. Like, it was as cheap and as low and as and by the way, also unrecognizable. Like, here's a hot dog I've never tasted before. Here's a pizza in the shape of a stop sign. Like, here's a bunch of shit that doesn't compute, but I've had Shakey's pizza, and I've had Carney's hot dogs, and I've had Carl's Jr. I've had all that on the outside, but once you got to the inside, it'd almost be like if movie theaters made their own candy.
Yeah, it would. I went to many, many, many games growing up at Candlestick Park, right, in San Francisco, and I remember the 100% of the malts I had growing up were inside of the stadium. Never had a malt outside. Right. No reason to have a malt. There was
with a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Yes. And it wasn't even really a malt as you know it. It was a frozen block in a cup with a wooden spoon that snapped pretty quickly. Still wildly satisfying.
It was like frozen hot cocoa.
Yes.
Right.
A malted. Right.
Sort of,
yeah. Right. And so we could only afford to shop at Sears or JCPenney's. So because we could only afford to shop at Sears or JCPenney's, then you couldn't buy Levi's. In order to buy Levi's, you had to go to some hoity-toity place called Miller's Outpost, which was, three blocks away.
Sure.
And had cowboys as mascots. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel's first job working at a Miller's Outpost in Vegas, like folding pants. But the point is at some point stadiums went, well, what if we had Carl's Jr.? Or what if we had In-N-Out Burger? And what if we had Wolfgang Puck? And at some point Sears went, what if we sold Levi's? Would it be the end of the world? And now, and not that Sears is around anymore, but you can. So the pecking order would be Super Denim bottom, Levi's top, and probably Toughskins in the middle. Also, it was difficult back then because every kid now, like, is just wearing board shorts and flip-flops and T-shirts. Like, my friends' kids are pretty affluent. Their families are pretty affluent, and they all just show up in cutoffs and flip-flops and some T-shirt with some cool surfboard name on it from the 60s. And no one knows the difference. When you were wearing imitation Wallabies or imitation Earth shoes or imitation Levi's, or, you know, you had your Izod shirt with a platypus on it, everyone knew you were poor. You were buying the generic version of the good stuff that everyone wanted.
In my era, it was the shoes. If you were wearing Keds, that was a dead giveaway. Nikes didn't have Reeboks.
Keds. Right. And every once in a while, there's that weird thing you'd see, like if you ever go to Tijuana and you want to buy a leather bomber jacket that has the Pittsburgh Steeler insignia on it, except for Pittsburgh spelled incorrectly. And you see, like, there was that Nike with four stripes on it. Like, they're little
Adidas.
Things. Yeah. Here was the conceit. If you go to school with a bunch of drunk 13-year-olds, you could probably pass this off. But if it's daylight and they're sober, they're going to know you're a loser.
Kids are pretty finely attuned radars for that kind of stuff, middle school and whatever.
But like you said, with the Prius now, everybody's undercover. It doesn't matter now.
Mark Cuban's wearing a Mavericks T-shirt, board shorts, cargo shorts, and driving a Prius. What's the difference between a guy who makes $41,000 a year working for the city and him? I had Max Zapata, just because we were drilling down on this the other day, which was I'm always interested in how much effort it takes to be poor, and then how it's more of a mindset and a mentality. And I was talking to you guys about driving by my dad's old house that was all overgrown in the valley, and I took Sonny there for a bit of a scared straight journey with the dirt driveway and dirt alley, and, you know, just it was an eyesore, depressing, and a mess. And as it gets hot, and it is hot out there now. Pat is running around the next room. Max Pat, come this way. Talk to whomever about something else. But we were talking about the mobile swamp cooler, and Gary was looking for some of that.
I
realized at some point when we were living in this box, this sweat box in the valley that was built probably in the 20s, A-frame, 600 square foot house with no insulation. There's just open beams, and you could see the wood and the roofing, the tar paper was just over the top of it. And it was just no insulation in the walls, no radiant barrier, no, you know, ducting, fans, you know, ventilation, no nothing, just a box, just like a hot box, like just a flat, like living in a garage. And during the summer, it was brutally hot inside that place. So at some point, my dad broke down and he got a swamp cooler, but not a swamp cooler that you'd put on your roof, but like a mobile swamp cooler. It had casters on it. You'd push it around. I told Gary to find one, like from basically something you would find in the Sears catalog.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, it's like a hi-fi.
It was like Sears catalog circa 1975. And the thing's about 24 wide and 24 deep, stands about 28 or 30 inches high, and you just roll it around. If you're sitting on the sofa, you just roll it up next to you. Also, there's a handle at the bottom with a drawer, and the drawer had a tray. It just kind of opened like a glove box, just opened out, and you'd fill it with water. And if you're really feeling good about yourself, you'd throw some ice cubes in there, and then you'd shut it up, and then you'd turn it on, and then you'd just get hit with this wind that just ran across the water. But it wasn't cold air. The air...
It was moist air.
Yes. None of the air was changing in this sweat box. And of course, the bowels of the valley, dog days of summer, you know, it was 111 degrees outside. It'd be 96 degrees inside the house. And when you turn the swamp cooler on, it was better than not having it on, but it wasn't cooling any of the air in the house. And my loft, of course, was at the top. So all the heat was like crawling. It was like sleeping in the attic during the summertime with no air in the house. And what I was thinking about, and I went back and looked at it, my dad at some point got himself a Sears charge card, and there was a Sears in the neighborhood, and he was going over there to use his Sears charge card. And what I realized is a window mounted unit, which I did the research on back in the day, retailed for anywhere between $109 and $239 for the deluxe job. So let's just say he could have got $125. He could have got the cheap window mount air conditioning unit. Well, I lived in houses with those in it. They're pretty effective. If you just leave them on, they'll cool the area. And
especially a 600 square foot
the
area.
The fucking house was like 17 by 16. Like it would have worked. And we had a window right in the front. Like it would have worked. But I'll guarantee that worthless piece of shit, loud hunk of junk swamp cooler was $71. And my dad wouldn't squeeze the trigger. He had this mobile piece of shit that you would have to constantly refill with water, and you'd roll it over here and you rolled. Obviously, it did nothing to cool the house. So when I'd go up in the attic at night, it was still burning up in there. The window mounted unit would have worked nicely, could have turned it on and just kind of left it on through the night and stuff. It would have really cooled the air in the room, but I'll guarantee it was 25% more. And for that reason, my dad went with the hunk of junk that didn't work at all.
Yeah, there's solid a philosophical thing. Question I ask myself when it comes to a trivial amount of money, whether it's $20 or $60. Or let's say I often ask myself this when it's the difference between riding coach or like the premium economy. Like for an extra $40, you can say, I think to myself, if I'm an hour four of this flight, would I pay $40 for a little extra egg room? Yeah, I probably would. So there you go. Worth it. $40 isn't pleasant to spend if you don't want to, but if you think about it like that, like, if I'm in the worst situation, I'm boiling hot with the swamp cooler doesn't work, would I pay $40 to be cool? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, and I get the argument sometimes that people do with meals because they're great, but then they're gone. Or even a flight, they're great, but then they're gone. But to have a cool dwelling to live in for year upon year versus rolling around this loud, you couldn't even hear the TV set. Be like, you have to put it right up against you. It's a lot of busting the ice trays open and filling up. But I thought that is a poor person's mentality. That's how poor people think. You start off with the basic premise, I'm not worth it. And then you move
and then ahead. You go down from there.
And then you go down from there. All right, let's see. I got a couple of calls up there. I heard today that the LAUSD was not opening at all.
That is correct.
Oh, man. Sonny came with me today. Should we put him on the mic and see just how committed to excellence this kid is?
Are you part of LAUSD?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I think kids are very safe, but we shall... We shall find out. Matt's over here in Studio City and wants to discuss the drop program. Matt, 36, Studio City.
Hey, Ace Man. How's the gang doing today?
Good.
Hi.
I just want to talk. Everyone's talking about defunding the police, and it's kind of a contentious subject. I know you're aware of the drop program, but maybe a lot of listeners aren't. I think it's a good starting point for people to kind of talk about the police budget and where we spend a lot of money.
Well, the drop program is something we covered on this show many years ago, which is policemen retiring Also, you got to think about it. You know, when we think about police, we think about firemen, we think about school teachers or other public people, people at road crews and things like that. You know, as I've said, I think we're all glad they're there. And I think we all think of them as noble and good and all that stuff. But it is weird when I'm 50 at the time, when I'm like 52, and I feel like when I was 52, I'm 56 now, like I'm right in the middle of work. I got to work for another 20 years. Like I don't have any thoughts about not working. You know, I'd feel like I wouldn't deserve to stay home. And I'm like talking to the fireman guy who's been a fireman since he was 22. And he's like, yeah, next year I have 30 years in, so I can retire and get 3/4 benefit for the rest of my life, or I can go to age, I can go 35 years in and retire at full benefits, full medical for the rest of life. And I thought, well, how many of us have the opportunity to retire in our early 50s and just full freight for the rest of your life and full full medical for the rest of your life? And then the cops were like, well, it's part of the reason why a lot of these cities are broke. It's like we offered way too much, and now the tab has come in on our bar tab. But the drop thing was like cops retire, get their full benefits when they retire, and then get rehired at full pay as well. So now you're getting full benefits, and you're getting a full salary as well. And again, what other facet of life works this way? I mean, we're in the private sector, and then you got to be careful about the people who benefit from the rules making the rules. But you tell me more, Matt.
First of all, it also applies to the LA Fire Department. So they're in the drop program as well. I think the latest I read about it in January of this year, or maybe it was last year, I can't quite remember, the city council voted to change the drop program, but if you're already in it, you're grandfathered in. I think the new thing is if you have to work X amount of time while you're on it, and if you're not, you lose the early pension payments, but you still get your salary.
But I mean, there's like retired firemen, they're making $250,000 a year and stuff like that. I mean, it's real money. Like real.
Can you imagine moving to Indiana with $200,000 a year for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
You'd be like the villain in Roadhouse, the richest guy in a small town.
That's right. I like
just
that
like
guy.
It.
Yeah.
I thought the drop program was designed, I thought it was, first of all, specifically designed for firefighters to keep them from retiring. So I guess that's been kind of muddied along the way.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be cost neutral, but it turned out costing us, I don't know, over $1 billion.
Yeah, I know. Well, we always start off.
The one.
No one, rarely do politicians put legislation forward and preface it with, boy, you guys going to be ass raped on this one. They usually go, this isn't going to cost the taxpayers a penny. This is going to be neutral. This is going to be a cost benefit.
And they make money.
Right. And then it turns in the world class reaming. That's Rom. Thanks. Thank you, Matt. Chris, 50, Sacramento, is a school teacher. Listen up, Sonny. Sonny, are you part of LA Unified School District?
No, I'm in Sacramento.
Sorry, I'm talking to my boy. So.
I don't.
You don't know?
I don't
good.
Think so.
Yeah,
I think you're La Kenyatta School District.
Yeah, I'm a student. I don't know if I'm part
of
it.
Oh boy,
you really,
that's worse
you than really I thought. Call yourself a student?
Well, yeah.
I think you're more as an inmate.
Question mark.
Just passing through.
Yeah, yeah. It's not letting the time do him. Hey, Chris, are you a teacher?
I was a teacher for 12 years, and then I was a vice principal for 13 years.
Ooh.
And were you working in the Sacramento area?
Yeah, I was in the Sacramento area. I'm now retired due to a brain condition similar to Brian's. But other than that, I have some insight on how things were in the early 90s when you were a teacher. If a kid was really out of control, you know, the kids would get punished. You call the parents would see what they could do. The situation now, as you have mentioned many times, is that the kids are coming from these broken households where the divorced parent has no choice but to be the best friend of their kid, or they're going to lose them. Because the kids will say, I'm not giving you my phone. And I go, well, I'm going to call your mom. And they go, no, my mom's on my side. Because if I tell my mom I'm going to go live with dad in a city in, you know, different place, she's not going to fight. And I go, oh, you're right.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. Now it becomes kind of a popularity contest. So if the kid's 11 or 13 and dad lets them stay up till midnight and doesn't make them do their homework and gives them a phone and lets them eat Fruity Pebbles for breakfast, then he wins the popularity contest, doing all the things that are horrible for the kid, and then the kid's going to move in with dad.
Sonny, remember that strategy.
Exactly it.
Yeah, remember that. Right.
So when I first started teaching, I taught a general ed class, and I would have the kids introduce themselves by saying, who do you live with? Do you live with your real parents, step-parents, or who it was? About 68% of the kids in that class were something other than real parents. Then I taught an English language learning class where the kids are coming from other countries. There's a lot of Russian kids, some like Hmong and Asian. And that one, 80% of those kids were living in situations where it's the same parents.
Right.
And you can only guess who did their homework.
Right. Yeah. Well, you did. You just spat out some good data.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, you know, I've said a million times, how is it the school system should work if the home situation is not working? And I bring it up once a year, but I was thinking about it because I grew up in this petri dish called North Hollywood High in the 80s. And I was seeing yesterday, like, Jewish Lives Matter, or hashtag Jewish. It was trending. And I was thinking about my grandfather, Laszlo Gorog, and I was thinking about these Jewish kids who I always kind of looked up to. I looked up to their family. And I thought, look, I grew up, I had, you know, my white friends, Ray and Chris. Their parents were divorced. They lived in apartments. Chris's dad went to jail. Chris ended up going to prison later on in life. It was chaos, and nobody went to college, and it was just a mess. It was nobody, you know, the kids were running wild. They were ditching school all the time. Chris and Ray both, you know, it's funny. Chris, Ray, and me all could have got college scholarships to play play football in college. None of the three of us ended up going to college. We all just cleaned carpets right out of high school and then ended up on a construction site. And Chris and Ray are still on a construction site.
Well, and you didn't even know how to go to college.
No, I didn't know I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to fill out the paperwork. And then there were the Latin kids, and then there were the black kids, many who were bussed in from the inner city. They just kind of went back to the inner city. The Latin kids kind of went to work for their dads, you know, stacking cinder blocks. It was always funny. I had one very white friend, redheaded friend, super white guy named Zeb. His family was all broken up and they lived in apartments too. And my one black friend, Tom, his parents were together and they were rich and successful. And he went off to UCLA. And then there were the Jewish kids, all the Jewish kids who lived up in the hills. They had all the Alex Arados and Robbie Levines and Nate Wittenberg and Jeff Buck and all these guys, and their families were all together, and they all were like taking the SATs and they were prepping. And as soon as June 1982 came about and everyone left North Hollywood High, all of the Jewish kids headed to college. And all of my white buddies headed to clean carpets for A and B Carpets, and then eventually onto a construction site. And the Mexican guys went back to Pacoima and worked with their dads, and the black guys went back to the inner city and God knows what. Now, we all attended the same school at the same time with the same principal, the same teacher, same faculty. Everything was the same, but there was one thing that was different. The family. Mm. The family. Why? My experience at North Hollywood High was vastly different than Robbie Levine and Alex Arado's. Alex Arado went to UC Berkeley and is now an attorney. That's what he did. When he went to Berkeley, I went to Silver Lake and started pulling ivy off the side of an apartment building. But it wasn't North Hollywood High that did that. Mm-hmm. We're all in the same place. It's like we're all drinking out of the same well. How can you blame the water?
Mm. It's okay, only now here's the what's going to happen.
Yes.
They are going to modify the schedule where the kids are going to go to school maybe two of the days. And I'm telling you right now, these kids that are coming from the broken homes are not going to do any work at all. They're going to be home. Parents are going to be off trying to get their jobs back going on. And they're going to be saying to their kid, how are things going? And they're like, well, I go Thursday. I'm supposed to have the project done. I didn't do it. I think I'm sick Thursday. I'm not going to make it. They're right. going to see a huge amount of these kids coming from these middle areas whose parents are their best friends, just simply not doing any work. And they're going to be saying, well, where's our credit? Yeah. Are we going on? Where is it? Well, and they're going to say, your kid didn't do work. Well, that's because he was sick.
Well, first, you should know, because I am a responsible parent who cares about his child's education. Sonny, not only are you not my best friend, you haven't cracked my top 25.
Is that why you're so... Is that why you're always in love with that Cracker Jack Papa Wheelie kid?
There's a kid in the neighborhood who rides wheelies on a mountain bike. And I don't mean Papa Wheelie. I mean rides wheelies.
Wow.
This kid goes all the way down Foothill, crossed up on his specialized, all the way down Foothill. Like
that's
through
single.
That kid is a winner, man.
His
kid
dad must
Cracker
be so
Jack.
Lucky.
Oh, my God. But I would trade 1,000 Sonny. For just that one kid. That kid's a winner, man.
It's Natalia's best friend's older brother.
Well, put a word in for me.
And his older brother works for Nate.
Oh, right. He's over there. Well, I'm going to go talk to him.
So we have some relationship with that kid.
Like, Sonny can do a Papa Wheelie, but you couldn't even get a playing card between the tire and the ground. Like, it isn't. There's no daylight there. This kid rides a Papa Wheelie, man.
I can get up for like a second.
Yeah, but did you see that kid? kid went five city blocks, man. We were walking home from the Mexican restaurant, and that kid went by full wheelie mode. Wow. I was like, wow, that kid's a winner.
Single tear down your cheek.
You were so obvious about it. It was like 10:30 at night. We were walking home, and the kid's like on the side, like jumping, waiting for the crossing, and you're like, "Woo, yeah!" Like pointing to him, like Papa Wheelie kid, yeah.
I may have had a couple margaritas, but either way, what he did was impressive.
In vino veritas.
That's right.
So Adam, yeah. Adam, are you going to make some calls for that kid to get him in the carpet cleaning early?
Oh God!
No, that kid's a winner.
Get him in right now. Say you know people, and I'll get you in the carpet cleaning industry. You ride that wheelie. Sweet.
Ride that wheelie right into a colony kitchen in Ventura.
Right in the back of the van.
Well, thanks. Hey, Chris, what's going on with you have a brain tumor?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have what's called an AVM, and so I have seizures, and so I'm fine until I'm on the ground.
And then
I'm in the back of an ambulance wondering how in the world this strange man knows my name. Because he
don't be a one upper, like I said before.
Wow.
And saying, Chris, are you okay? Chris, what we're going to do now? And I'm looking at the guy and thinking, who are you? What are you doing? And I'm trying to figure out where I am. And then it dawns on me as I'm seeing all the small compartments in the back of the ambulance shaking and trembling. And I figure I'm in a small plane and I'm island hopping, and me and my gay lover are going from Jamaica to San Marcos.
Yeah.
That's what
like
it is.
Like
and
way
just
saying.
Let me go back to sleep.
Like me and that Papa Wheelie kid are going to do in a few months.
That's right. And
they're
going to get me some oxygen. I realize I'm not gay and that we have to get the plane turned around and I might even be married. This is going to be a problem.
That's complicated.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Chris. All right. So your school schedule, Sonny, as you know it, is what again?
Okay. So there's... You either go on Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday, and you only stay till 1. And Jesus. The days that you're not there, you're doing work online. But it's not a Zoom call. It's the teachers just crank out work or they pre-record a lecture.
How fast can you get your work done from home?
Like, I mean, last year I could do it for maybe 2 hours, an hour and a half.
Mm.
Are you a freshman this year, Sonny?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. You have summer reading now?
I hope not.
Oh, he's, you know by now.
He's been reading the back of his eyelids, basically.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
What I've been working for 6 hours a day. How is that? How is that reading the back of my eyelids?
We've talked about that, Sonny. Don't
we
worry.
We talked about you working, and we're proud of you.
And you still owe me like $300 from my paycheck and that bet we made.
LAUSD, second largest school district in the nation.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Sure.
I have a question for Sonny about this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You know, you don't know what you're missing because you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got this news, I'd be like, yes, like this is a gift from heaven. But also, are you kind of bummed? I mean, first day of school, freshman, you walk into that high school, or I don't know how it works if you're still in middle school or not, but you're either, you know, the top dog in middle school, or you're going to a brand new school and it's really exciting. Do you feel cheated or do you feel like this is a gift?
I mean, I feel like it's a gift for two reasons. Is because my middle school and my high school are on the same campus, so I would just be going from one building to another. And B, I'm probably not going to be there on the first day of school because of Monterey every year.
Yeah.
Oh, you think Monterey's happening?
We're
going to Monterey.
Maybe.
We're doing a race.
No, you're going to Monterey anyway.
No, it's the week before. They moved it a week before. So
yeah.
Now you might be going to Alaska with Huey Lewis, but we'll figure that one out.
I mean, it's just, even if I'm there, it's probably just the teachers know this kid's not going to be here on the first day of school. So yeah, I should probably just not.
All right. Go say hi to Ted Cruz over there.
All right.
And thank you, Sonny.
What a life this kid
What's
has.
Your pod? Give a plug to your podcast.
Oh, yeah. So go check out Fantasy BS or the Benchwarmers podcast. We are currently recording new episodes every week. We'll be back with Dylan shortly. So go check that out.
All right.
Oh. Right, hard sell.
Yeah, hard sell. All right, see ya. Punctuate, boy.
I'm sad that Sonny doesn't sound like a baby anymore.
I know.
He's getting that deep voice.
His braces off.
I know. I know. I miss it. All right, let me hit liquid IV. Dehydration occurs daily. And 3 out of 4 people, you can stay hydrated. It's important, man. I've been walking and it's been hot out there, man. It is now on summer wise. I use a liquid IV. I put it in a bottle and fill it about 12 ounces of water and I just shake it up. It's fast, it's effective. Stay hydrated. Each serving helps you get about as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. So if you're going on a long hike and you're doing a lot of sweating like I'm doing and you don't want to carry a big camelback filled with water, get your liquid IV going in there and just carry 10, 12 ounces of it. Stuff tastes good. I like the lemon myself. It's good for before you work out. It's good for after you work out. 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana. No artificial flavors or preservatives, less sugar than an apple. No GMO, vegan, gluten, dairy, soy-free as well. Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ADAM at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ADAM at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ADAM.
All right, let's roll, take a quick break. We'll roll right into the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, now we know that LAUSD, the LA Unified School District, is not to be. When it comes to the fall semester, everyone will be doing their thing from home. But it's not just school. We also, this is sort of breaking as we're recording. as far as California goes, the governor, Governor Newsom, has rolled back the state's reopening. So Newsom is requiring all California counties to close indoor operations for the following sectors. Some of them we already knew. Restaurants, wineries, movie theaters, family entertainment, zoos, museums, and card rooms. Bars must close all operations. And 30 counties in the state are monitoring closing fitness centers, churches, places of worship, offices of non-critical sectors, personal care services, hair salons, malls. So really going back to the beginning again.
I keep reading these articles that August sends me that basically we're supposed to get exposed. And the reason we're spiking and New York isn't is because they all got exposed. And now that there's no, they got their herd immunity. I don't know what you guys are hearing, but I feel like they all got hit hard at the beginning, and then they all got exposed, and now there's no movement. And
but
we
then wasn't
didn't.
There yeah. wasn't there talk of getting two different strains, that we got the Asian strain and they got the European strain? I mean, there's so much information just because, you know, where the flights fly in from usually. Huh. Also, there's, I mean, at least we know one case, so this isn't like, I'm not grafting this on to all people by any means, but there was that one big article about, you know, the headline was, man says, I made a mistake, and he went to a COVID party, which was kind of, you know, doing it in jest and everyone getting together just to see what happens, just to see if it affects you. And this guy, his last words were, I made a mistake going to that party.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
So,
by the way,
know,
that guy was 700 pounds, too. Like,
if he was a pound.
My thing is, like, I think everyone's going to be exposed to it at some point. It's a pandemic. It's how it affects you when you're exposed and how many people are negatively affected in one time. I don't think we can avoid it. I think we got to keep it away from the folks that are in hospitals and the folks that are old and the folks that are in nursing homes. But I don't know that we're going to avoid it. I can't imagine. With all we're doing, and again, half of it is like people are out, people are flying. I've flown a few times. I'm going to fly some more. How could I avoid it? I don't think I'm avoiding it. I really don't. I just think it's passing. I think it's not. I mean, it's like Bean got it of Kevin and Bean. It affected him like the flu, but his wife had no symptoms and she tested positive for it.
Right.
I think it's going to be a lot of them. Yes.
Well, it would be interesting if you got an antibody test or an antigen test just to see if you've had it.
You
might just be one of the ones that, like you said, it passed through. But I mentioned this the other day, and I've seen some friends on Facebook going, I'm experiencing this as well. There seems to be a pattern with a lot of people of, you know, we all know the deathly, horrific fortnight of just kill me now. And then you start to get better and you're like, oh, it's gone. And then it hits you again. So it seems to come in waves for a lot of people, too.
Well, this has been going on for a while. I know Bean, who got it. And I know, well, I guess Brian Callen got it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of guys I know who got it. But
your friend who wrote the music for That Thing You Do.
Yeah, but I just knew of him. Like, I mean, it wasn't really. I wish it'd be presumptuous for me to call him a friend. I never talked to him. I just knew who he was. And I'd worked with him many, many years ago. Yeah, he died. But I'm not judging this on who gets sick or who gets flu-like symptoms. I'm going for death. And I don't know. I don't have anybody in my world. I have a few people that got it. But I don't have anyone who was really affected by it. But
well, and I think we're right to not focus on cases. We focus on hospitalization. We focus on death. Because if everybody gets it, nobody goes to the hospital. That's great news.
Yeah, I think if a bunch of 30-year-olds get it, then that's fine. Adam Schlesinger, sorry, is the person we're thinking of. But anyway.
But there are hospital spikes in some places. And you know, if we shut down again, people are going to start going insane. Start.
Yes.
So
keep
we'll
going
see.
Insane.
Yes. Yeah, a couple of sad RIPs to start the day with. John Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, an actress on her own, she died of breast cancer the other night. She was 57. She was memorialized in an Instagram post by Travolta. I think we have that. She fought, let me pull that up here. She fought a courageous fight with the love and support of so many. My family will, you know, be ever grateful to the nurses and doctors at MD Anderson Cancer Center. They, I think they were married in 1991. They have a 20-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old son. Their oldest son, Jet, passed away as a teenager from a seizure. And a family rep released a statement on Sunday saying, on the morning of July 12th, Kelly Preston, adored wife and mother, passed away following a 2-year battle with breast cancer. Choosing to keep her fight private, she had been undergoing medical treatment for some time. So that's why this was like, huh? Who? What?
Yeah.
Because it was never in the news.
Yeah, I always see, I saw that story and I always kind of think about this theme that I get back to, which is, well, are you lucky or are you unlucky? Because we talk a lot about luck or timing or the haves and the have nots. Like, well, she's a beautiful young woman, so that's kind of lucky. Not everyone looks that way. You got a nice genetic hand. You know, she meets John Travolta. He's flying her in a Qantas Airlines jet all over the world. But then you lose your 17-year-old son, you know, which is right. Has to be devastating. I mean, there could be no more devastating news to a mom than losing your teenage son, especially if it's that Papa Wheelie kid. Sonny, are you? Yeah, that kid.
Bite your tongue.
A goddamn Cracker Jack, man. All the way down Foothill. Crossed up. He was crossed up. Anyway, you lose your son. That's devastation. And then, of course, you don't see your 60th birthday, especially when you're affluent. You have all the money anyone could ever, all the money science could buy, and you still can't buy your way treatment-wise out of it. And so, you know, Kelly Preston, well, lucky or unlucky? I mean, a great live cut. I mean, you know, many women live another 30 years, know, and in an affluence, you know what I mean? With everything you wanted. And then you unfortunately were alive when your teenage son passed. So it's like, and the answer is both, right?
Yeah.
That's the
like
answer.
Most people, it's nuanced, you know, it's a little bit of both.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's not worth sitting around and looking at what other people are doing and trying to figure out what they have versus what you don't have or who's blessed or who's lucky or who's whatever. It's everyone's experience is different and you should make yours different and not focus on everyone else's. Sorry.
Well, and to that point, just to get through the really morbid stuff, Naya Rivera, TMZ, and by now other outlets report that her body has been recovered. She was the actress Santoya Lopez from Glee, the cheerleader. She was 33, and she went missing about a week ago while boating with her 4-year-old son on Lake Piru. The body has been recovered, and the family's been notified. Her son found unharmed in the rented boat when she disappeared. The son said that his mom had gone for a swim and didn't come back. And divers had been using sonar and drones and dogs that can sniff gases through the water.
Where was this? This is in a lake, right?
There's Lake Piru. Yeah.
Fuck is that?
North of here.
I think me and Jimmy for the Man Show may have filmed fishing with the fridge. There where we went out fishing with the refrigerator Perry.
Perry?
Yeah, we don't air that anymore because Jimmy was playing refrigerator Perry in that bit.
Unearthed.
Yeah,
Resurfaced.
Unearthed, yes.
Apparently this river, this lake in particular is not, it's not uncommon to have a drowning death there.
I don't want to be this guy, but I saw some of her posts and some of her pictures and stuff, and it seemed like she was struggling with something a little mentally. Like, it just seemed like there was something going on with her, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, what was she doing out there? Why did she go in? How come she wasn't wearing a life jacket? Why? It seems pretty weird to leave your kid in the boat and then just go in without a life jacket. I wonder if there was some potential suicide thoughts out there. And also, I don't know, like, she didn't seem like an avid fisherman or something. Like, it seemed like kind of a weird activity. I don't know why you'd want to include your kid. I don't know.
But I don't know if you saw any of the security footage of just them, you know, parking, getting out of the car, walking up the ramp. And, like, they have their floaties and they have their gear. And it just looks like any day at the lake. It doesn't, well, I mean, you can't tell, obviously, from security footage. But, you know, it's just, apparently there's a ton of full-sized trees under that water and like debris, just limbs. And so a lot of people don't get discovered there because you just get entangled in all the shit under that water.
Yeah. It turns out not that much good happens in a lake, and and ponds are even worse. So I don't know.
Bogs are the bottom.
Bogs are the bottom, man. Let me hit Dodge here. Yeah. Summer. Best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle Dodge. Power dollars here, baby. $10 off based on the total horsepower of your new Dodge. So every 2020 Dodge Challenger, Durango, and Charger, enjoy the sweet sounds of a Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack, 485 horsepower. So you got 485 horsepower, which is plenty, and you get $4,850 off. See, $10 per horsepower. You're doing the math. And summer power dollars are back on the Dodge Durango. Performance-driven SUV makes summer trips a breeze. Fit everyone with the Durango 7-passenger seating capacity. Get more power. Get more off. It's simple. Hurry to your local Dodge dealer now. Take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars deal. All right, Gina, what else we got?
Yeah, let's switch gears. For the first time, a female soldier has graduated from the Army's Elite Special Forces course and will join one of the all-male Green Beret teams. Unidentified woman is one of three female soldiers who have been going through the Army Special Forces qualification course at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. She graduated Thursday, donned her Green Beret along with about 400 others. The Army does not release the identities of its commandos or disclose to which Special Forces group they will be assigned. The more than 6,700 Army Green Berets are highly trained commandos who usually work in 12-person teams, and they're often used for specialized combat and counterterrorism operations to train other nations' forces in battle skills.
Well, between this and the hot Brazilian chick on Sports Illustrated, I've really turned the corner on women entering a man's world or or men entering a woman's world. My compass is spinning around like I'm in the devil's triangle, man.
I don't know what to believe.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
But, I mean, and this is not a case of, oh, well, they must have lowered expectations. Like, no, it's tough. That's why she's the first one.
Yeah, you can tweak some things around for maybe being a fireman or something, although I would argue that's probably not a good idea either. Like, either you can do 10 chin-ups or you can't. I mean, do you want the fire person? It's like, well, they can do 3 chin-ups, but she's a woman, so she's coming to your house. But in the Green Berets, you can't mess around because you got a platoon and people die. So, and by the way, don't we all like this world where you go, here's the deal. You have to put on a 60-pound sack, a backpack, and you have to do a mile run in under 6.5 minutes, and that's it. It doesn't matter if you're short or tall or black or white or female. Those are the rules. And now, knowing that, when you do become a Green Beret, now you have all our respect.
Oh, yeah.
Versus like, well, did you do girls push-ups when you're on your knees when you're doing the push-up challenge? Like, once that starts entering in, then you start going, it undermines the achievement. So good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So a little chess news. In a way, a Chess Champs YouTube podcast was taken down recently, allegedly because of references that are chess references. Do things like black against white, white always wins, things like that. TheSun.com says...
Get that drop.
No, a series was removed because it contained harmful and dangerous content. And this Croatian chess player and podcast host, Antonio Rodic's chess channel, has over 700,000 subscribers, 275 million hits on YouTube. His fans apparently just love his analysis of the games. And he was assessing a match played by Hikaru Nakamura, Japanese-born American chess grandmaster. And this guy who takes
master,
on,
I find master problematic.
Grandmaster, Grand Wizard, short jump.
Yeah.
He takes on these players around the world, believes his latest podcast was removed by an algorithm that picks out these key words. He says, there's talk of racism, and the YouTube algorithm could have heard black goes to B6 instead of C6, white will always be better. So maybe with the current situation in the world, if you hear something like white will always be better, it might flag this video as inappropriate, harmful, or dangerous and take it down. And the host said it's a shame because he doesn't swear on the videos. He's just a chess guy. And he appealed and the video was reinstated. But the algorithm may have to be adjusted.
What was that Jodie Foster searching for? It wasn't Bobby Fischer, but that
nope.
There was a Jodie Foster, young black chess guy movie.
Oh,
it
was Jodie Foster.
Had a name.
Oh, wait.
Little Man Tate.
Little Man Tate.
But he wasn't chess. He was just a genius.
Oh, he wasn't a chess guy.
Brian, if he's a genius, he plays chess.
I think Diane Wiest like came in and like took him to a school for the gifted, but all he wanted to do was be like an ordinary kid. And his mom, Jodie Foster, was like a waitress, a cocktail waitress. You know, he was a very meager origin.
Oh, maybe.
I saw it once in the theater in 1990.
Maybe there was something in the trailer where he was like beating someone in chess or something.
Oh, I think that's, yeah.
And maybe I thought that's what he was doing.
You know what's really cool? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is kind of the slippery slope of all this sort of race-based everything. It's just sort of finding everything and weeding it all out and saying, no more saying peanut gallery and no more no more saying cakewalk. And half this stuff, you're like, what? What does that even mean? Oh, it pertains to.
Or refers to, yeah.
Right. And so everything refers to something. My point is if no one knows what that is, then can we keep moving along here? But anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say that when I lived in New York, something that was very fascinating and almost sport-like was fucking awesome to watch. In the park, a lot of people play speed chess.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, if you're learning chess, don't bother because it goes so fast and you hit the button and people just play for
fun.
Yeah. But they're like, but the thing about it is, and yes, maybe they're all nerds, every walk of life, every age group, old black men, young
ladies. Old nerds, black nerds.
It's cool that's part of the culture, at least it was, in New York, is to sit around and wait at a table and somebody will join you for speed chess.
That was a trope in like New York 90s movies where it had the old black guy sitting at the table like in the background.
Because it exists. It was cool.
Well, you guys... go ahead, Gina. Let's do one more.
All right, let's find something good here. Oh, perfect. A McDonald's customer in England has been arrested after he allegedly bit a seagull for a very good reason, because the seagull tried to steal his food. The suspect reportedly attacked the bird in front of a bunch of cops that were also eating. So the man claims that the bird was trying to steal his McDonald's. So he grabbed it and he bit it and he threw it on the ground. And the animal apparently appeared to be injured because of the bite, but it did fly away. But he was seen by the cops and admitted to being under the influence of drugs.
Isn't the seagull the ballsiest of all the birds, right?
100%.
Brazen.
Yes. Brazen.
Whole bag of Cheetos and just takes it into the wind like it was never there.
Right.
So at the beach, always.
And they don't really care if you get up and walk around or walk toward them. Like, they are the sort of ultimate example of what happens to wild animals when they interact with humans too much and then lose whatever that...
comfortable.
Lose their fear.
Lose that fear. And then... it's got to be... If you're a bird and there's French fries laying around, I mean, that's the siren song.
That's
I mean,
go time.
I love French fries, and I don't even have a beak. But if I had a beak, I would really love French fries even more. I don't know. There's something about a beak that just says, eat me. Like, I don't know. Hot dogs, hamburgers, French fries made for a beak.
Made for being made off with.
Yes, absconding with. Yes, grabbing one, taking off, and then eating it on the fly. But do they only eat it when they're flying? And then wouldn't that be like you only eating when you're running? And then wouldn't that be uncomfortable?
Yeah.
But you would never get fat. You know what I mean?
Like Vinny of the bird world.
Yes. Imagine if you could.
Vinny Tortor Pigeon.
Imagine if you could only eat when you were running. When Ted Cruz comes in here, remind me to talk to him about something that's driving me nuts, which is these godforsaken freeway signs. You know, I talk about it's always click it or ticket. And it goes from click it or ticket, and now it goes to wear a mask or social distance. But it's always a big handful of nothing. I've been walking around my neighborhood a lot lately, just taking hikes. And I'll give you a perfect example. There's walking down Foothill, where the kid rides the Papa Wheelie, and there's the on-ramp for the freeway. And I'm walking down the street, and I'd like to cross the street. I'd like to cross where the on-ramp is for the freeway. All the cars that are coming at me at a decent speed, I don't know if they're going to turn up the on-ramp or they're going to go straight and go past me because nobody ever signals. So I start walking. Now, if they would signal, I wouldn't start walking across the crosswalk where the on-ramp is, but they never signal. And then half of them turn up and the other goes straight. But I never know as I'm walking across, should I stop and wait? And then I realized nobody signals. And then I realized it could so easily be remedied if they put it up on those signs.
If only there was someone to send a signal to the people on the street.
You're going to make this Ted Cruz mission?
Yes. Just imagine the semi-utopia we'd be living in if everyone could just signal the next day. Wouldn't have to build any more roads, wouldn't cost any money, wouldn't be anything. Just an informational campaign. Just the same stupid sign that says click it or ticket that everyone ignores. Just use your signal. Just up it. Just get used to it.
Increase efficiency immediately.
Right, because every time I'm walking, I stop and I see cars coming toward me, and most of them are turning up the ramp, but I'll never know because they never signal. And then there's also the other one where they don't signal they're turning left, and you're facing them and they're facing you, and it's like you want to go, but you're not sure. Are they going straight or are they turning, but they won't? Who are these people who don't signal? Why it feels like 75% of people will not signal. What is that? How could we correct that? And what do you guys think?
All things lead to narcissism.
Yeah, is that what it is?
They don't care if you notice.
It's always my opinion people are out of it. They're in their cars, they got their phones playing whatever podcast. They got so many things going on. This should be the first thing to think of is the last thing to think of.
But
involve them.
But think how many accidents it would avoid on the freeway if people were signaling. And when you're traveling under a sign that says click it or ticket, your seatbelt's already on or it's off, but you're not going to do anything. If it said signal, that might be something you do in the next 100 feet. Like that's real time now. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John, I'm wearing mine right now. They're ready for all the summer can bring, man. Ultra-breathable underwear and bras. Cool cotton underwear for men and for women. It's like having your own on-body AC unit pumping, man. Not my dad's swamp cooler, but a real AC unit. Made from premium natural Pima cotton and enhanced airflow. Evaporates sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. It's all I wear. And it's just the best. And you can work up a sweat, and then it'll just dry right on you. It's that efficient. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced, super breathable designs. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. No adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll say adieu to Gene and Bald. Talk to Senator Ted Cruz right after this.